Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and I have the honor of introducing you today to Jackie Lauer. She's passionate about leadership development and culture. Jackie grew her career leading technology sales teams at companies like ITI and Nortel. With a passion to create great leaders and high-performing cultures, she pursued multiple certifications in coaching, change management, emotional intelligence, neural leadership, and meditation. For the past 19 years, she has led a boutique consultancy specializing in building high-performance, happy workplaces with the science of positive psychology and neural leadership. Her client list includes organizations like Department of National Defense, Exonify, Loblaws, Plum, House of Commons, City of Barrie, University of Guelph, DeGero, Essentire, and many more. She has been a startup mentor helping technology CEOs grow and scale their business at Communitech and the Accelerator Center. She is often invited as a keynote speaker on topics related to culture, change, leadership, mindfulness, EQ, conversational intelligence, and innovation. And best of all, she has a no BS approach, an infectious laugh, and loves what she does. Jackie, it's my honor to invite you onto my podcast today. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, so for my listeners, I just want to give you some context how I came to know Jackie. So for those of you who know me, I've been on a journey looking to network with people that really inspire me. And in a previous podcast, I had the honor of speaking to Peter Gorrell, and he had referred me to Jackie. And when I had a conversation with Jackie, she is a bundle of energy, a bundle of insight, and just the pure energy, her laughters, etc. You can't help but come away feeling positive and coming away with something of value. So that's how I've come to know Jackie, and I hope you enjoy the conversation. So Jackie, want to get right to it?
Yeah, but way to make a girl all teary-eyed before we get started.
Listen, it's all you. You are amazing and can't wait to share the conversation with others.
Awesome.
So I just want to kick it off here, and let's just talk about your business journey. You have an amazing career here, but I would love to know a little bit and share with the listeners your journey. And along the way, what are you most proud of?
So in terms of journey, should I share a little bit how I got started in consulting? Is that what you mean?
You know, that may be it. It's one of those points in one's career where sometimes you just make a major change.
Yeah.
So let's go there. Yeah.
For me, I was the first employee of a tech startup. So there had been a number of founders who had got the thing started. They heard me actually, weirdly enough, on a radio show for entrepreneurship and youth and showed up my workplace and said, come be our salesperson. And I did. And so we grew that company, 1 million to 85 million. And at one point, we had enough money where I could hire IBM to come in and help us build a CRM system, right? Customer relationship management tool. It was so exciting. We had enough money to do that. And Marty was the senior consultant on the team. And he pulled me aside one night and he said, you and me, we're going for martinis. It's like, okay, Marty, like I totally admired this IBM consultant. And he said to me that night, you're in the wrong job, honey. It's like, I love my job. What are you talking about? He says, do you know what they call you here at the company? I said, yeah, I heard that they call me the canary. And the canary in the coal mines, if anyone's listening, understand, the coal miners send the canary in first. And if they don't come out alive, you don't send your miners in.
Oh my God.
So I was like the canary. And I understood what he meant right when he said that to me, because I was the one that leadership would vet data or ideas through me before rolling it out to the employees. Because I'd say, no, 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 it's not how you message it. You got to make sure you message it this way so that you get buy-in for that. And then they'd roll something new or a new price out to the marketplace. And because I was headed sales, I'd be like, oh, the market's not ready for that price, but you can probably handle this price. So I became that person, like the canary. You vet it through me first. So he goes, so you don't understand. You don't know what you don't know. He said, you're a master communicator, an interpreter. you're the person that's doing change management facilitation. And I just kind of looked at him like, oh, yeah, isn't that my job? He said, that's what I mean. He said, it's your natural strength, but you don't know what you don't know. So he introduced me to change management methodology training and then coach training. And so I went out and got those and then went, shit, I love this. Like, so I was doing what was a natural strength in me. I know where it comes from in terms of how I was raised in my family. But once I got sort of the breadth of knowledge, I started to go, I love this work. And of course, it led to me resigning and starting my own business 20 years ago this June.
Jackie, so that's a great story. And there's so much information in there. You know, when I think about what you just shared with me, and for those that are thinking about a change, or maybe they're in a situation where they do one thing, where their passion is in another direction, it is great insight and great opportunity. Like you said, that you got the feedback that do you really realize you are the canary, the master communicator, the interpreter, and you had the opportunity to go with those passions. And there's something about that change management. I know in my upbringing, and we've talked about this, and you know, continuous improvement, we teach people change management, but sometimes we don't teach them the psychology, how to communicate, and start with the human first. So amazing insight there.
Yeah, I was so blessed to meet him. I often say I should have called the company Canary Incorporated or Marty Canary or something. But it's really been my guidepost ever since. And the other parts of that I love, and think about the work that you and I do. I love making sure that people are doing work that they're naturally gifted to in terms of their character strengths. So it's just often stuff we take for granted. And they're usually those gifts we had since we are little kids. When I look back over my history or my own timeline from the age of 8 to now, you look at the things I loved the most, where I was the most fulfilled, it's because I was using my natural character strengths.
You know, I'm not videotaping this, but for our listeners, Jackie and I are looking at each other. And, you know, I'm starting to get a little emotional here, because when we think about our natural strengths in our youth, sometimes society or situations move us in a different direction and we steer away from our strengths. Mm-hmm. We may continue to be successful, but occasionally, if you have the opportunity to return to those, your true self shines through. And just a quick note, and I'll probably do this in a solo episode. When I was younger, I was a speaker. I was in plays. You couldn't shut me up. I was actually on a radio program. My grandmother was on a radio program. And now having the opportunity for these creative outlets to speak with tremendous people like yourself and share those stories and share those insights, I feel like I'm home. So thank you for your story, Jackie.
Welcome home, girl.
So you see a lot of organizations. Your bio says you've been in and out of a lot of places, but I would really love to hear a story about where maybe you've been dropped into a situation, a culture, an environment, a team, a person where they were going through major changes. And how did you support them through those changes? So I'd love to hear a story.
Yeah, my brain just went through a couple of examples. I'm going to share, pick one, Jackie. I'm going to share one. It's in the technology industry, and they were 10 years in business. They brought me in because they had two vice presidents that were in conflict with each other, and they had already had two coaches or mediators come in and do the work, and it wasn't going the way they thought. So somebody said, last chance, let's try this Jackie Lauer. Let's give her a shot. Heard her speak. She's supposed to be good. We're at our wit's end. We'll try one more thing. So I guess I was their person. So in I go, and what they were intrigued by was I didn't just go in and spend the time with the two in conflict. They were absolutely part of the process. I need to understand their beliefs and assumptions about each other, their beliefs, assumptions, and stories and narratives on the organization. But I also wanted to spend time with the leaders. So there were two founders, CEO and chief marketing officer, and also a president that was running day-to-day ops. They weren't thrilled about meeting me because they're like, oh, stupid consultant on the outside. And I remember the CEO in particular sitting there with his arms crossed, like just trying to crack them open and build trust with them really slowly. My objective was to look at not just what's happening with the two that are in conflict, but what's happening in the system, right? That's supporting the conflict. And so it really helped me to understand that the two founders plus the president had three versions of the vision for the company. And they were subtle, right? Like just subtle differences. But when I was able to pull them back together, the three of them, I started to put the vision on the board they were nodding like, yeah, yeah. And then I wrote vision number two and they're like, oh. And then I wrote vision number three and they're like, oh. And I'm like, so I think you may be noticing the reason your people are in conflict is because they're moving towards two different visions and they both think they're right because they're reporting into each of you. And that's one of my favorite stories. It's one of those stories where I had the courage to pull on the senior leadership and know that if I really listened, I could help them instead of being shy or insecure that I've never been a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar or million-dollar company. And that was one of those moments like, Jackie, just use your superpowers, allow them to be smart, and let's meet somewhere in the middle. That's why I love that story.
So that's a great story. And I have a filled pad of paper with copious notes from this discussion. But, you know, I'll touch on the last one first. And this goes to a mindset shift that I personally have had. And I'm really glad that you've brought that out for people is you said that, well, I've never been a CEO of a company. How can I help them? And really, when I think about being a CEO, it's really a mindset. It's that ability to have that open mind, to be able to listen, to assess the landscape and understand the value that people bring and where are the gaps and barriers in the organization and how to identify those, remove them and move them forward. So you nor I have the CEO title, but we know and think and understand what CEOs should and can do for an organization.
Absolutely.
So that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
You know, there's another thing that I'd love to just bring out here that I think was really interesting, and I'm curious about this. So being able to listen to leadership and being able to bring out the information of what you're hearing is one skill, but you did touch on one thing is having the courage to face them head on with what you heard. Talk to me about that. Have you always had courage or is it something that you had to muster up over time? Because I'm sure a lot of people out there wish they had the courage to say what was needed to be said.
So I was thinking about one of the coaching certification programs that I went to like maybe 19, 20 years ago, where the world, the room, the people I was being certified with had to come up with four words to describe each of us. It's their story, assumptions, narratives on who we were. And they had given me words like author, mother, bold, and humor, I think were my four words. And I was like, those are stupid words. I was just like, they didn't resonate with me. And I think humor was the only one. I was like, yeah, that part me. But the other was, I wasn't a mother. I didn't feel bold. And so where I'm going with that one was the bold one I sat with for a while. And I remember a time after the coaching program, I came home to my family and I said, heads up, family. Like we're at a big Thanksgiving feast, 23 people in the room. And I'm announcing, I've decided I'm going to be more bold, people. And they're all just, oh, Jackie and her coach speak. And they just made fun of me and we laughed. And I was like, no, seriously, I'm really going to make an effort to be more bold. And my dad's like, oh, Jesus Christ, you were always the bold one. Like, it's just like, so the thing I've learned is, yes, I've been lucky to have moments of bravery and courage from the time I was a little girl. And I feel so honored that I was blessed with enough self-esteem to do that a number of times in my life. But I'm also very aware of where I've held back and played small. And nobody gets to tell me if I'm bold. I decide. No one tells me if I've been courageous enough. I decide. So if I'm holding back and playing small, it's my job to move that out of the way and press on. Even if someone else's version of me is, you're amazingly courageous, I know when I'm playing small. That makes sense?
You know, I'm pausing here because I want people to really listen to what you just said. Holding back and playing small. And I have come across so many people along the way, especially in this year, where I'm discovering myself and I'm discovering so many amazing people. I'm mentoring three people right now and I see them holding back and being small.
Yeah.
And so that's so important too. If you are listening and feel yourself doing that, at least acknowledge it and recognize it. But again, I'm going to jump around here. What would you suggest somebody try or do to get a little bit more bold?
Or whatever it is. I was thinking there's an exercise that I introduced when I was coaching CEOs years ago. And I have it, your listeners, write this down. I know I am successful by how, dot, dot, dot. I know I am successful by how. So people define success by what we're doing. It's how we're being that leads to the doing. So what I'll often do with the clients is get them to really kind of brainstorm that list and pare it down until they feel it. Because behavior and decision-making comes from the emotional center of our brain, not the neocortex, logic and reasoning. It's the neocortex, it's the logic, but we want the limbic, that emotional connection. So you help them find those words and finish that sentence. I did it about 16, 17 years ago, and I still live by these rules. These are my measures of success every day. The first one, I know I'm successful by how bold I am being. So when I finish my day, it's like, were you bold today, Jack? Really bold? Your version of bold? It's like, no, man, there's an opportunity where I held back and I'm going to fix that tomorrow, right? So I know what's the first thing I'm going to do tomorrow. And the other one I have is, I know I'm successful by how often I belly laugh in a day. And that for me means if I'm laughing from the belly, it's authentic and genuine. It's freaking fun. So it means I'm being with people that I love and trust and I'm having fun with. If I'm laughing from the throat, like it's a bit fake. So for me, it's honoring that authenticity, honoring the humor, honoring connection. So I love everyone who's listening is craft those one or two statements. That's your measure of success that you, when you are your best self, when you're showing up, do that.
I can't top that. This is just great conversation. But, you know, this leads me into another thing. When I was reading your bio and some of your other material, you talk about, you know, when you show up to a client or to a conference or whatever, you have a no BS approach and also it's laced with humor. Yeah. And so humor and your approach are both direct, but they're somewhat very different. So how have these approaches served you in different situations? And are they opposite of each other? Or is there a time and place for being no BS or leading with humor? I'd love to know more about that.
Oh gosh, that's such a good loaded question. I think both of those things are my strengths. So if anybody does like the Strengths Finders or Gallup Strengths or Via Strengths, they all have versions of that language in there. So my VIA character strengths will be honesty, kindness, and humor at the very top of mine. So when I'm at my best from the time I was 10, 30, or now 50, it's that I have been honored with the skill of connecting with someone to build trust really quickly and with enough compassion that I can say something directly without harm. That's that honesty. Without harm is the critical component. If it's filled with genuine compassion, I can deliver something that's hard, but still hold the space for them to be themselves. It's sort of like I could be honest, but as long as it's filled with compassion and genuine empathy, I can do it. If I'm in a place, and don't get me wrong, because I am human, there's been moments where I've been fully authentic or honest, because that word authentic is used by everybody today. It's like, you can be authentic, man, but do no harm with your authenticity. That's the thing I always say. So it's laced with an assumption that you can do that with compassion. And then there's the humor piece. And again, we all have different sense of humor, different things that make us chuckle. I'm looking for the thing between me and my person or my team where we have shared value, shared humor. What are the things that are going to make us have joy together? Not full on joke laughing, but what's the thing that's going to bring joy to us that we share? And the joy could be the sound of water, or the joy could be cat videos. Whatever that is, I'm going to find that thing that we share that brings joy and laughter.
So it's just another tool to establish that rapport, relationship, and maybe even lessen discomfort.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny, I was thinking the journey for me over the 20 years of business has led me to neuroscience. And I didn't even know I was there, like didn't have the language for it, didn't understand what I was doing. But I did know that when we have micro moments of connection and we experience those moments of joy in our workplaces, we manage our stress better. It doesn't sound like rocket science, does it? Like, it's like, no. How can one not understand? I think most of us do. What I am now loving is geeking out to the science behind why this matters. So why do we have expressions of gratitude? Because it releases oxytocin and allows us to manage our cortisol. I love nothing better. Like, I'll give you an example. I was dealing with a group of people 3 weeks ago. I'm going to swear on your podcast. And I literally had the room. I started the session with, on the count of three, these are my first words in the session. On the count of three, 300 people in the room. On the count of three, you're all going to scream really loud. And they were like, is she nuts? And so, of course, they leaned into it and did it. And then we did it again. And the second time we did it, the room just busted out laughing. So I said, why did I do this? why did I start this session with such a bold choice of language? And they didn't need neuroscience to understand that what I was doing was releasing tension, bringing some humor and laughter in the room, which also builds trust, and then we could lean into the tough day that we had ahead of us.
So there's tremendous value in what you just shared, and I can reflect upon that as well. I do absolutely love the concept about laughter, because I find that even just myself, and again, I'm sitting down right now, but when I'm standing up or I'm speaking face to face with Jackie right now, as soon as I start laughing or you hear the giggle, you just know that, okay, this is feeling great. You know, to your point, this is feeling joy. So there is something in that. And I will share a quick story. So I always had a place where I'd never like conflict. And so that's some of my baggage. But I'll tell you, one day early in my marriage with my husband realized I was irritated, and he purposely tried to get me to release that tension. And he got me so upset. And he tells me to this day, he was doing it purposely. And I went to look for something to throw at him, and I didn't want to break anything. So I grabbed a package of cream cheese, threw it at him. It missed him. It hit the wall. And then he says, "How do you feel?" And I realized, okay, well, I feel better now. So find your tension release, find that explicit, find that word, or throw something that you don't value, because it does release the tension and you do feel better.
Do you guys have like a family joke now? Find the cream cheese, baby. Find the cream cheese.
You know, after today, I will.
Yeah, it's really good. I think everyone relates to these stories because they're so real. I was part of a blended family. There were 8 of us in the family. And there was a day where my mom was stressed, tired, working mom, 6 kids. And she had us all around the dining room table, and she had made meatballs, and the meatballs burned. And she was exhausted. So she was upset and angry, and probably went to her room and closed the door and cried, and then came back. And my sister, in the meantime, literally in those 10, 15 minutes, wrote a poem called "The Meatballs." And so that was like 30 years ago. And so the whole family, when anyone gets stressed with something that is seemingly small, but life has become bigger, our family will just go, "Seriously, fuck the meatballs," and we'll pull out the poem. Sorry, I'm swearing a lot on your podcast.
No, this is where the beauty is, and I hope everybody's going to have as much fun as we are right now. So let's keep going. So you, again, a bundle of energy. You've dropped a lot of great value on this podcast, but sometimes it has to start also with you. And I'm grateful for the fact that you've always led with humor and you've got those fantastic strengths. But I am curious, along the way, is there somebody that has come into your life that it's inspired you, or something happened that maybe helped you validate what you do or change your mindset or move you in another direction? I'm curious.
There isn't a big moment. It's like lots of little moments, like Marty, the IBM consultant. That was a seemingly little moment that led to big change. But I also think about, there's a young woman who was an employee of mine at Nortel, and she had gone away for some training. I didn't know what. She's excited. She comes back in the Monday. She's like, "I got to tell you something." And I was like, "Kristen, you seem excited. Tell me about the training." She says, "You don't understand. There's this thing called coaching. And I just did like a 3-day weekend with Coaches Training Institute. And I'm just sitting there the whole weekend thinking, this is Jackie. This is what Jackie does. Jackie's a coach." And I'm like, "I don't even know what you're talking about." So it got me curious. It's one of those moments where it was one of the 4 coaching certifications I've done. I loved every second of it. I'm so grateful that Kristen came in and told me about it, because it led to big changes in my life and my way of being in the world. Helped me to learn to listen better and have more empathy and to get my ego out of the way. It was probably one of the big ones.
So I'm going to be bold, because you're inspiring me. So I think it was about maybe 6 months on social media. And again, you're very active on social media. We'll get to those a little bit later. But there was one video you did that really touched me. And it was, I think, about a time where you needed to have a crucial conversation with somebody, that something in the relationship was not right, and you were mustering up the courage to have that conversation. And then you also posted later, I believe, that it went okay. But being a coach and having to help people through this, seeing you vulnerable in a moment like that and saying, "I'm about to have one of those and I'm having a hard time with it," I'd love to know a little bit more about that, if you can share.
I got the chills and it made me teary, and I'm thinking about, why is that? And I thought, I hope I'm doing enough of that, because the phrase I use a lot with clients is, "I'm an expert, but I ain't no master. I'm human. So my ego shows up. Like, I'm still working on self-awareness and self-management because I'm human," right? And so I'm just so grateful for people who are willing to listen to my own self-deprecating humor, but genuine interest in growing as a human in this world. So I'm still working on it. It's funny. You just also triggered a memory. I shared that video with him after. He's not big on social media. So I said to him after, I said, I want you to know this was about you. And I watched him watch it and he got teary. And I said, what made you teary? And he just said, I'm honored. I was important enough to have that conversation with. It's like, wow, like not even a perspective I had assumed.
Yeah.
Right? It's beautiful.
Yeah. Don't assume how people feel. That, you know, you just dropped another thing. Don't assume the emotions and feelings of other people. You need to unpackage it and understand why, and why it may show up one way, it may have manifested out of something else, because the more we assume, the less we truly understand people.
Yeah, 100%. That's a big trigger for me now. I think because I've gotten pretty good at it. Don't get me wrong, there's times I still assume and I'm wrong, especially as a mom.
Oh, that motherhood thing too.
Yeah, you know, it's my reminder I have lots of work to do.
Yeah, we could do another whole series on motherhood here. So anyway, so I'm going to just unpack one more thing here. I found it very interesting in a post that you did almost a year ago, and it talked about intention versus impact in communications as vital to building trust. So intent and impact. I'd love for you just to share a little bit about that, because it seems a place where you're quite passionate about.
I think that in my experience, often leaders have an internal, as humans, we have an intention in the action or the behavior that we have or take. What we don't often do is explicitly share that intention. We just act or behave with the assumption that people know our intentions are good. So that's part of the challenge. So it's getting people to be explicit with intention. And importantly, when people are behaving or acting towards or with us, to remember how we receive their behavior may not be as they intended. Right? So internal motivation isn't usually seen, but we make assumptions about what people's intention are. And then the other piece is, so what is the impact? If someone has received our intention differently, the impact on them, it can do damage. Even though our behavior or our intentions are good or pure or kind, someone may take it in a different way and the impact has done damage. Even someone who's supposed to be emotionally intelligent like me, there's been times where I'll say, hang on, I feel like I'm triggering you. Is there something happening here? And it's like, well, you know, you really pissed me off in that meeting. It's like, walk me through what you saw or what I said so I can understand its impact on you. And I think as humans, we got to get better at sharing impact and better at sharing intention.
Yeah, so that's really great insight. I had a conversation with somebody and it was great. It was over the Christmas holidays. And if you're listening, you'll know who this is about. But we really had an open conversation about being in the same space and how their actions impacted or how they made them feel. But in the process of sharing, you know, the other person got teary-eyed. And so it's always a balance, again, for me, who doesn't prefer conflict, how to try to avoid saying anything so you don't get the negative impact. But then when I spent the extra time understanding, well, why do you feel that way? Why did you start crying? It opens up a completely new world of things I was not aware of and why.
Yes.
I was having a certain impact on that person. And then we could start coming to an agreement. The tears went away. We hugged. So powerful, your message about intent and the impact.
I'm dying to share something else, if I may, because you just triggered something that I've become really passionate about, is that we often avoid emotion. And so when things get a little bit intense, a little angry, a little too much joy, a little too much sadness, as humans, we kind of try to tone it down and make everybody okay. I've learned that when you lean into them, and it's, I don't own anyone's emotions anymore. They're just their emotion. Even if it's at me, I'll say, wow, you're angry at me. Tell me more. Or it's like, did I trigger? I saw tears. Walk me through the tears. And what do they mean? I've learned, and I said this to a client at the University of Guelph recently. He said, oh, well, what do I do though if I make one of my female employees cry? That was literally his question. I said, what do you mean? What do you do? He said, I just don't know how to act. And I said, how about you just sit with her? Whatever it is. And so I said, emotions are data. So because he's left-brained and he's uncomfortable with emotional language, when I called it data, somehow he could be with it. So it's just sadness, which is just anger. Mm-hmm. Let it be and lean into it. And so I kind of get geeky inside now. When there's intensity, I can feel myself going, oh, this is going to get good. Because to me, if I can lean into it, I'll go, there's something juicy on the other side of it, which is a good insight for either the relationship or for the person feeling it, right?
Yeah. So for us as consultants, coaches, we have the great honor of experiencing those moments, again, the challenges leading up to it. And then I will absolutely say the joy of discovering what really creates these behaviors, the mindset, and then we can do the fantastic work we're meant to do with these people.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start bringing this in, but this conversation I can see could go on for hours. But is there any other insights or thoughts that we've not covered today that you want to share with anybody before we bring this to a close? Because again, this has been amazing, but I'm sure there's another nugget or two for you.
Oh my goodness. In this moment, I can't think of it.
But we're good right now.
Yeah.
It's been great. I love also you put in one of your bios, you're a neuroscience geek. So we didn't even have to go there. That was, I can see it. And you know what? I'm an engineer. Being a geek is okay because it's data to help us manage people through situations. So it's,
that's right. Geek is the new sexy, Dad.
Absolutely. So this has been fantastic. If people wanted to learn more about you, where can they find you and connect with you?
Well, they can definitely find me on LinkedIn, Jackie Watt Lauer. They can find me on my website, jackielauer.com for sure.
Okay.
I'm on Instagram too, all that stuff.
Have you tried TikTok? I've done a little of that too.
I don't know. I'm feeling a bit old for that one, I think.
All right. Well, Jackie, this has been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure my listeners will absolutely love this conversation and check you out and all the other fantastic references. It's been an honor, and I truly appreciate the great conversation. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Be well.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.